What matters is that where they are going and that they are on this road moving towards towards improvement and towards getting to where they'd like to be. Because everyone who's like in the best shape of their lives now wasn't at some point in time, yeah. right? And I think we fall into the trap of admiring people who are in the best shape of their lives and overlooking everybody who's on their way to getting to the best shape of their lives. Welcome to the Rising Tribe. I'm Jared.
And I'm Austin.
And our goal is to inspire young men to build strong families and discover their potential as men, husbands, and fathers.
And we'll do this by having authentic conversations about faith, family, health, and business as we strive to level up our lives and the lives around us. Welcome to our third episode of the Sparta series. We actually finished up our Spartan race 2 days ago. And we are in Athens wrapping up our trip. Yesterday just got away from us and we weren't able to record last night. But boy, we have got some fun updates from the final day, which is probably my favorite. I think my favorite day just because of the people we met, the laughing we had, and, you know, we can talk more on this, but Jared and I had done, you know, we did the 5K and the 10K, and me and you just, like, trucked through both, but the third day was a beast, and that's why they call it a beast.
Yeah.
And early on in the race, me and you saw this crew that had been pacing with us the 2 days that we were running. They were with us like every 10 to 20 minutes they would intersect with us, and so we found them early on in this race on the beast, and I just thought, dude, these guys seem like they're fun. They were laughing, they had music, and we had heard them call themselves Team Olive. And so we're like, hey, can we just be a part of Team Olive? And we just got taken in as honorary members of Team Olive, which implies a lot of things. But short story, like the guy, the name's Mark. One of the guys that was part of the team on his first day took an olive off an olive tree thinking it was going to taste really good. And he almost threw up. Like, everything.
I'm pretty sure he did throw up the first time he ate one, but...
Well, because of that, they named the team Team Olive. Yeah. So, we became members of this team, and it was so cool because we just got to laugh the whole time. I loved it.
Like, yeah, it was fun because it was four of them. So, Mark, Steve, April, and Kim. And they all met each other... Well, April and Steve are a couple, but the four of them all met up at a hotel, I think. They just all happened to be staying at the same place.
Now they're amigos.
Yeah, and so then they started running the days together, and then that third day, they let us become honorary members of Team Olive, and then we just ran the next 5.5 hours together. And I think one of the best parts of it was that we were just laughing and singing Disney songs and freaking just having the blast, like the time of our lives while we're carrying stupid heavy chains way longer than we were supposed to. And like, dude, it was wild. But I think one of my favorite parts about that day was that we got to see so much of
Sparta. Oh, yeah.
Like the views, because they sent us way freaking up in the mountains. And so we had some incredible views. And it wasn't just that it was a beautiful view, because I've seen some beautiful views all by myself. But I found that every time I see it by myself, it just, like, views seem to, like, lose their meaning because I'm the only one to see it. Kind of like a, you know, if a tree falls in a forest and no one's there to hear it, did it ever fall? And you're like, yes, it fell. But also, I understand. Like, if you're by yourself, dude, like, it just takes on a different, the whole race has, like, a different purpose for you if you're doing it by yourself. Because there are plenty of people, like Miles, who's freaking out there, like, achieving incredible personal goals by himself.
Yeah.
But like this, from the beginning, the purpose of us doing this trifecta was not so we could compete in any of the elite pro categories, but so that we could do something really fun together. And so we met up with these awesome people, and we got to just be with them and share in some of the beautiful views of Sparta, get to share in these like awesome experiences together with people that we did not know 72 hours before.
Yeah, you know? And we know them really well now. Like. When you're on a trail with somebody, there's a lot of time to talk, especially on the uphills, like just getting to know somebody. And got to learn a lot about other people. Like, oh, I actually caught Miles. Like, I walked with him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he finished around the same time we did. Cause the guy just walked the entire time, like a solid pace the entire time. He finished around, if not a little bit after we finished. But found out a little bit more about Miles. Miles used to weigh like 170 pounds, and he was a fighter. And then during COVID, he hit 380 pounds. And then he got back into Spartans, and Spartans have helped him drop down to 260. Insane.
Yeah, and what was really cool about that was, I think on our first debrief episode,
we mentioned that.
Yeah, we talked about how, like, what would his life look like? And this was before we knew any of this. Yep. We were like, dude, here's this dude out here who's, like, he's a big dude. He's probably 6'4", and probably weighs, like, 270 or more. Like, big, big dude. And he's just out there just chugging away every day. He does not stop. He'd, like, hit a rest station, maybe grab a banana, and he's right on through. Like, he would not stop. And we were just wondering, like, dude, a guy with that kind of determination, like, even though he's not at whatever the ideal weight would be for someone like him, like, there he would probably be so much less disciplined and probably wouldn't be showing up in so many other areas of his life if it weren't for what he's doing with Spartan.
Right, I asked him about it. I was like, dude, tell me, like, how Spartan has changed you and changed your life. And he's like, it's crazy because I have something to work towards. It's helped me get back into shape. He's going to try out for American Ninja Warrior once he gets down to, like, that 220 range. And I opened up to him a little bit because I love doing the OCR racing, mm-hmm. but I'm a bigger dude. And so I opened up to him, like, dude, thank you for, you know, being an inspiration to me. I'm a bigger guy, and I'm trying to, you know, do these races. And he goes, hey, just stay consistent. Don't get discouraged if you don't cut weight fast enough. And he just had the greatest perspective because he's been the guy that's, you know, 300 some odd pounds. Mark in our crew used to weigh 380, 400 pounds. I think I overshot Miles' weight, but he's down to 260. I know that. He was over 300. But Mark, a guy in our group, hit 400 pounds at one point, 380 pounds, something like that. And now he's down to 200 something.
Dude.
220. Like, looks great. Yeah. And said he was into powerlifting and everything, but there was one day when he just bent over to tie his shoe. He got super, super tired, and he was like, yeah, I'm done. And he decided to kick it into gear, and now he's in great shape, and his whole life's better.
Dude. Well, and I think what's so cool about that is that when you, like, if you were, you just showed up. Let's say, like, you know nothing about any of these people, right? You just show up, and you're just watching who's running in the race. You'd be like, okay, well, they're all your, like, super fit people who do this a whole bunch. And then you'd see all these people who are maybe aren't in the best shape of their lives, some of them who maybe look super overweight. And you look at them, and you're like, why are these people here? Like, what are you doing here? You know, like, you're not super fit, super athletic, like some of these other people that are racing. Like, why are you even here? But it's a terrible way to look at it, because you're just getting a snapshot into everybody's life and, like, different. But what you don't see is the direction they're moving. And so what you don't see if you just, like, snapped a picture of the racers is you don't see what Mark looked like a year ago or 2 years ago. You don't see what Miles looked like 2 years ago. And where they are now, like, that doesn't matter. What matters is that where they are going and that they are on this road moving towards improvement and towards getting to where they'd like to be. Because everyone who's, like, in the best shape of their lives now wasn't at some point in time, yeah. Right? And I think we fall into the trap of admiring people who are in the best shape of their lives and overlooking everybody who's on their way to getting to the best shape of their lives. Because you've got to do the workouts, you got to do the races, you got to keep going to them, and you got to keep showing up week after week, month after month. And, like, I feel like we often are just waiting for the end result. When in reality, dude, like, Miles is just as much an inspiration right now as he will be 6 months from now, a year from now, when he is at his ideal weight, when he is, you know, competing on American Ninja Warrior. But right now, it's so cool to see because he's not there yet.
Yeah.
But he wants to be, and he's made a lot of progress, but he's still going.
Yeah. I think it's part of people's stories, like, when people reach a goal, that everything leading up to it was super important too. that's where, you know, when you see these movies and you read the stories about people that went through hard stuff, like, that's the stuff that we like to hear. But yeah, we met some really, really, really incredible people. Made those four friends on our trail, hung out with Miles on the trail a little bit more, and really, it was just a brutal race. I mean, I was telling you the morning of, I'm like, dude, prep for 20 miles. Just mentally think 20, so that whatever the race is, it's less. And it ended up being 18, about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the first day was a 5K. We knew it was going to be more than 5K. Turned out to be 5 miles. So that's a lot more than 5 kilometers. And then the second day, it was supposed to be a 10K. Turned out to be 8 miles, a little over 8. So it was 13 kilometers. And so then we were like, okay, so a 21K, that's double what the 10K was going to be and some change. But there's no way it's going to be double an 8.25 mile race.
And it was.
And it was more than double. It was freaking, what is it, 29 kilometers?
It was 29 kilometers. So the sights were incredible, because the cool video, and maybe we can like splice this into like what I'm talking about right now, but the cool video I have of you is, where you go up the mountain and there's this like plateau that's one of the highest points in the mountains, and they put the spear throw on the top. This is your first spear throw that you actually hit.
Yeah, because I missed the spear throw the first day. The second day I missed it, and then I got so upset that I threw several times until I got it, but then still had to go do my burpees for it. But this time I actually nailed it.
You're overlooking the city and then all of these this huge mountain range, which kind of reminds me of Colorado Springs, the mountains out here.
Yeah.
And you nailed your spear throw. It was, the word that we keep using for this trip is just epic. But it was so cool to see. I got that spear throw as well. But on the second spear throw, we found out that alternative way to do it, where you just rest the spear on the metal rod and just push the rod, push the spear.
Like underhand, lob the spear.
It's like the old school two-handed basketball throw, like underhand throw for the free throw. But it works really well. So, yeah, the race was so cool. At that spear throw, they did make the race a lot harder. I was starting to have flashbacks to when I went to Joe's house and they just started doing random stuff just because they wanted to see us suffer. But when we finished the second spear throw at the very end, I thought that we were on our home stretch.
Yeah.
And right when you go down this little hill, they have these massive, massive chains, and they just made you walk. I would probably say it was almost a quarter mile, I would say.
Dude, no, I would say it was more than that. It was more than a quarter mile, dude. It was a trek.
And they hurt your shoulders.
Because at that point, I think it was 18 miles. We were at least 14 miles into the race. Mm-hmm. Like we were well into it. We were already super beat up. And so putting those suckers on your shoulders, dude, we were like crying our way to the end. And it was actually on the last kind of stretch. April and Steve were kind of up in the front, and I could hear them singing, I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan. And I'm like pretty far behind them, but I could hear them. And so I just started singing along as we're like trudging. Yeah, we're just singing. We made it to the end. It took them the entire song to make the full loop. Like it was a long freaking walk. But just getting to do this with so many other really cool people just made it that much more fun. Like not just like bearable, like fun.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we were on the trail for like 6.5 hours.
Yep. I think our final time was it 6 hours, 18 minutes?
Yeah.
But it felt so cool. Every single time that you'd run through, at the end of every race, we would run through the Spartan ruins and then back. It was this big hill. They call it the
the Acropolis.
Acropolis, yeah. We think that every ruin here is called the Acropolis, wherever you're at. But we would run through this Acropolis where their ruins were at, and then we'd go into the city. And it was like this huge adrenaline rush every time you ran through the streets and everyone's screaming and, you know, ringing their bells and there's music going. And you get to cross the, you know, you run to the finish line and there's people dressed up as legit Spartans with gold shields. And it was such a cool feeling. But more than anything, to finish the race, that felt so fun. Because it's like, we did it, right? Yeah. This 3-day brutal experience was coming to a close, and it felt cool to actually see a goal come to fruition because we got to see everything. I mean, the one thing I was going to add earlier is the Saturday race was through the city and through the towns, and we talked about it, we ran around a church and everything, but on Sunday they closed the church down. And so they just shut
They closed all those roads down because the church is having services.
Yeah, they're going to have Spartans running by the service, you know, during the middle of church. But yeah, they closed those areas down, and we just got shot up in the mountains, and they just gave us these brutal obstacles in the mountains. I remember doing research the night before and looking at the obstacles, and then there's, out of nowhere, we see these huge chunks of marble that we have to carry along a ridgeline. I'm like, this wasn't on the map. This wasn't part of the plan. And they go, oh, well, they wanted to add it last minute, so they just threw it in there. I'm like, that is a very Joe DeSena thing to do.
Hey, let's just, while we're at it, how about we build a wall, and we're going to have you guys carry these slabs of marble around to,
Well, that's what Joe's done that for his death race. He's made the racers carry, 500-pound rocks, and he made them build a stair step up his mountain. That was the death race. So he just, manual labor. So, but I think overall, man, I'm so happy that we did this. I think this will forever be a trip. This will be a trip that I remember forever.
Yeah.
Right? Because it meant something. We got to come do this race together. It was something I've always wanted to do my whole life, is to see where the Spartans lived.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it is just this little town in the middle of Greece. And
really, really cool town.
It's not like a lot of tourism. Tourism happens there. Yeah. You just go there for the Spartan race, and that's kind of it.
Well, dude, and we didn't even talk about the freaking fire that happened on the mountain. So I don't know how many miles we were in, but we were tired. It was getting towards the end, and we were running through. We were finally coming out of the hills for the most part, and we had seen smoke kind of coming out the mountains throughout the race, and then we start seeing flames, and we're like, "That's a fire! There's a fire out there, right? That hill is on fire." And then as we turned a corner, and then the road that we were, or the trail road that we were running down, went straight towards the fire. And we're like, wait, do we keep running towards that? Because there's a fire at the end of this. So we start hustling down the road, and we're like, well, maybe we just got to run fast enough, and maybe this, the trail will actually curve away from the fire. But we started getting worried, dude, if we don't hurry up, they're going to shut us. They're not going to let us finish this race.
That was your insight into a little bit of Spartan culture of, we're more worried about not getting the medal than we are our lives, I seem. We were all talking about that after. They're like, there's no way we're not getting the trifecta medal. Run into the fire!
The trail went to it went basically right to the base of this little hill where the fire was. You could see the top of the hill from where we were. It wasn't very far. And there were several different pickup trucks and these super tall but skinny off-road fire trucks.
The Mercedes-Benz ones?
Yeah. Those ones are super cool, but build off-roading wheels that were driving through these super narrow roads and then getting off-road and climbing up the hill to get to this fire. But we were running through smoke or covering our mouths and just trying to get out of the hills.
I looked up at the hill and we saw the fire was going, and then it caught another olive tree, and the olive tree just... they're super dry. There's
the whole place is super dry.
Apparently, this race in past years, it's a very wet race where you're, low crawling through water and you're running through streams. But there is none of that this year. They said, do not eat fruit on the trail. And we're like, why can't I eat fruit on the trail? And what they really meant was, don't pick the farmer's fruit on the trail because they've had a really rough year with the drought. But man, we walked out of there with, you've got a total of 5 medals if you count your wedges.
Yeah.
So you have a 5K, a 10K, 21K, a trifecta medal, and then you have your wedges that you put together.
Right.
And then I got all of that, and then I also got a 2X trifecta, which is a little bit bigger of a medal, for my second trifecta, and I'll get my third one in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
Do this again.
More trifectas for me. So. It's just cool to have these medals too, because they mean something. Like,
yeah. And something we talked about, like, that makes this race different than other races is other races, you usually do the 21K first.
Yeah.
And then you do the 10 and the 5 the next day.
Yeah, you do the 21K first, and you can do a 10 or a 5 that same day. The 5K is typically on a Sunday, though. Okay. So you do a 21K. Some people do 21K, and then they tack on a 10K, and then their Sunday is just, you know, show up and do a 5K. The way I attack my trifectas is 21K on Saturday, and then a 10K in the morning of Sunday, and then a 5K in the afternoon.
Gotcha.
So it works, and it's fun. I think my body... This is just a way harder race than anything I've done. Like, yeah. Other than the ultra I did in Colorado was very hard.
Yeah, that's a totally different monster.
Yeah, this is a different monster, but this was very, very, very hard.
Yeah, because you have the 5K the first day, and you're like, okay, that was manageable for sure, but maybe a little harder than I thought it was going to be because it was like twice as long as we thought it was going to be. Uh-huh. And then the next day, you're like, okay, now we got the 10K, and now by the time you're starting the 21K, you're already like... You're already pretty worn out from the other races.
They don't let you do it fresh.
No. But I'm really glad we did it. I mean, this is my first race, my first trifecta. And who knows when the next time I'll do one is. But, like, I really, really enjoyed it because it was such a unique experience. First, it just, like, I've done obstacle courses, like, in boot camp and stuff. But, like, this was really cool. Really cool to do this. And then to do this in Greece, like, in Sparta. And to be surrounded by so many other people from other countries. One of the guys we talked to said that in the States, you mostly have people from the States. Mm-hmm. But international, you have people from everywhere, like all over the place. Like we ran into people from Chile running the race. Yeah. I mean, people in Hungary and Croatia and Italy and France and Switzerland and Slovenia, like people from all over Europe. But then there's a team from the Philippines and, I don't think we saw anyone from Africa, but several people from South America. We saw some. There were some Brazilians that I saw.
Argentinians. The lady we saw today was from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
She got like third place.
Yeah, in her age division.
Gosh,
which is wild. But it's just so cool to talk to all these people, and everyone knows different races around the world. Which ones are notorious for being super hard, for having bad weather, for all these things, and then on top of that, like. We got to meet some incredible people, and we got to race with them. Like, run with them, have a really good time. I mean, several hours just hanging out. Yeah. Isn't just hanging out. I mean, we're freaking busting our butts. Yeah. But, like, having a really good time talking to them. It turns out April, like, owns a gym and is a WWE wrestler in the UK. And then she and Steve are from Wales, and Steve used to do WWE wrestling and, like, got April into it, and he manages a gym, and, like, it's like... Really interesting people. And Kim, she freaking flies onto the middle of nowhere in Alberta.
Yeah.
Working. She's a mechanic on the vehicles they use out in oil fields.
Crazy.
Like, and she works like 7 days off, 7 days on, 7 days off, 7 days on. Like, what?
Yeah.
Dude, how wild is that? And here we are. We all just met up in Greece, like, to run this race. And now we're best friends.
Yeah.
Did we just become best friends?
Like, little group chat.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got some cool GoPro footage, and everyone's just still connected. But that's what's cool. Like, I felt the same thing with, like, the farm experience crew that I was with. You just, when you suffer with people, you become good friends with them.
Yeah.
Like, when you do hard stuff with them, the bond that you make with them is really, really, really strong. So, I'm stoked. We got to Athens 2 days ago. Actually, yesterday we technically got here.
Yeah.
At 2 a.m.
Right. It was but, super early.
But we had to go look at the Acropolis today, and the biggest thing I feel like me and you keep talking about is, like, how did these people build this thing? And maybe they just hired. Maybe they just had like a Spartan race, like Joe does, and they're like, "Hey, go build this thing, and we'll give you a medal." No,
like, oh, you put this up there, we'll kill you.
The stones are massive, so that's the biggest thing. Every time I look at these structures, they've been around for thousands of years, and I'm thinking, how did you make that with very little technology? Like, they didn't have the stuff that we have now.
They didn't have computers. No. They didn't have spaceships. But they knew things that we don't know.
I think.
And that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And I think it's been fun because, like, when we were sitting up there, dude, Marisha and I, we refer to it as watching the elephants, where you, like, show, you just go somewhere, you just sit, and you just watch. You just look around, you know, and you try to, like, take everything in, just, like, detail by detail. Because it comes from that one time where we were in San Diego and went to the zoo. We had annual zoo passes, so, like, we went to the zoo several times. So there's one time we went to Safari Park, and we like went from the entrance and kind of like went straight to the elephants because we wanted to go see the elephants. And we sat down and we watched the elephants for like 2 hours, just sitting there, just watching elephants. And elephants are not fast creatures, you know, like they're slow moving. There's the whole herd of them. And they're just like living their life as elephants, you know, in the zoo, in this huge, huge habitation. And we just sat there and we talked, sat in silence, talked a little bit, just watched the elephants and just like took it all in. And it was one of the most memorable visits, if not the most memorable visit to the zoo that we have. And we've talked about it many times, to just how awesome it was to just like really to like breathe in the experience, to breathe in the moment. And so then like yesterday, last night when we sat on that hill right next to the Acropolis. And because we got to the Acropolis late, and so we couldn't even go up it. So we sat on this hill next to it, and we just took in the views and like stared up at the Acropolis and stared out at the city of Athens. And we sat there for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like you called your mom. We sat, we took pictures, and then just like sat and watched the sunset, and then stayed there well after the sun had set, and like all the lights are coming on. We're just like talking about all sorts of things, but just like breathing in the city of Athens, you know?
It was really cool. It was better. I usually will like to do like a tour guide, but in this scenario, it was just cool to just look at everything and just see the entire city lit up. But I think where a tour guide comes into play, where it's like, well, why is it like that? Mm-hmm. Why is that this way? But I think just taking it with a tour guide too, I was telling you earlier when I've done trips in the past, the tour guide will take you through every single thing, and it's really quick, whereas it's just good to just sit and look at it.
Right.
So I enjoyed that, man. It's been an incredible trip. On our radar, we've got going down to Poseidon's temple. It's one of our last things for the week, and we'll catch sunset there. It'll be cool. Epic.
The whole drive down there is along the coast, so we're just going to stare at the ocean.
Get a beautiful drive. A good restaurant down there, from what I hear. We've had Greek salad every day still.
Mm-hmm.
Still some of the best food I've ever had. And this has just been an incredible trip, man. This, thank you for points and miles. You know your stuff really well. Thank you for organizing the hotels and everything, man. This has been really cool.
Oh, we didn't talk. Okay, real quick, because I know we got to get going. But this morning we opted to hit the sauna. And we found out the hotel also has a cold plunge. So we go down, like we had a nice little morning. You got up earlier than I did, doing a bunch of journaling. We went and got breakfast. But yeah, dude, this morning, we forgot to talk about it. So this morning, you got up earlier than I did, and you went up to the breakfast lounge, and we're getting, you were journaling a bunch about the trip and the things that you've learned from it and how great it's been. And I got up, I went to the lounge and got, just got some food and relaxed, and then we met up downstairs for the sauna because the hotel's got a sauna and a cold plunge. The sauna was great, dude. Freaking just sweating out all the nasty, all the cuts and scrapes, dude, are still hurting. But but then, dude, hopped in the cold plunge. I was not ready for how painful that was going to be because, like, we hopped in there and, like, I've been taking cold showers for years, but I know it's not quite as intense as doing an actual cold plunge. But hopped in, dude, and instantly all the sore muscles just, like, tensed up like you're freaking squeezing a dish rag, and then also all of the skin, all of the scrapes, because I fell a couple of times during the races, so like I'm all scraped up, and all of the skin, the way it just like tightened all up, dude, it was extremely painful. But we did our, you know, our 3 minutes, we hopped out, showered, and we went walking around Athens today and feeling like pain free, dude, like feeling so great right now.
I think the massage that we did yesterday, plus the cold plunge and the sauna today, made a huge difference. I almost passed out in the cold plunge. But I knew that. I was like, hey, dude, just catch me if I start to float.
Because your heart rate dropped. It started at what?
Like 110. And then within, if my watch is accurate, I was down to 46 beats per minute. So I went like neck up into the water. But the cold plunge is so much fun because more than anything, it just pushes you to see what you can do. So we kind of had like two recovery days in Athens, if you think about it. We saw the Acropolis. Mm-hmm. And then in the previous cut of this, we talked about going up to go see Poseidon's temple. And then it, like, the audio got cut off. But we did go. But it was closed. So it's okay.
So we watched the sunset, like, the whole drive, because we're driving on the coast. So it was really beautiful as we're watching it. But apparently the temple closes at sunset. And so we got there, like, just after sunset, and it was closed.
So, but it's fine. I think usually the plan, like I was telling you, the plan B is usually better than the plan A. So we found this seafood restaurant off the road and just got some great seafood. Mm-hmm. Fried feta was a little strong for me.
It was a little much, but...
But everything else was fantastic. Just good food here, man. You wonder, like, a lot of people are somewhat healthy because they eat a lot of meats and vegetables. That's the overall theme I see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like super bread heavy or...
Yeah. A lot of olive oil. Yeah. So, like, in the sauna today, me and you were sweating out olive oil, I'm sure. But, yeah, I think... Overall, just an amazing trip. Getting to see the one thing I think we talk about is getting to see the Acropolis, like the amazement of how amazing it is that these people built what is up on that hill with the technology they had. And I don't know what technology they had 100%, but it's amazing what they were able to do. My favorite was the horse head on top of the Acropolis, on top of the Parthenon. That was just chilling up there. Smashed underneath the roof.
So there's a, in kind of the corner of the roof, there's a statue of a horse head coming out. Like the roof has like collapsed on the horse and like squished its head out.
There's a centaur strangling a dude. Yeah, we mentioned like how crazy would that be if on our government buildings there were pictures of mythical creatures strangling bad guys.
Yeah. Like we don't put like picture or like stone statues of like our military members like shooting other people or anything like that. You're like
freaking bald eagle with flaming wings just swooping in to get the bad guys. Dude.
But no, it's been a fantastic trip and we head home tomorrow. But a huge part of what made this trip so memorable, we were just looking at all of the pictures that Spartan put out, all of our official photos from the trip finally dropped, and so we were looking at them, and we just have some awesome pictures with our good friends. So we want to give a special shout out to Team Olive. So Steve and April, you guys are fantastic, and we are so happy that we now have some new friends from Wales, which we're being told is in England. Apparently, they really like knowing that, you know, Wales is a part of England. And then Mark, dude, you are crushing it, man. Just like as you are chugging along, just dropping weight and getting strong, man. It's freaking awesome. And Kim, who's just like a total BA, dude. She's just awesome and really strong out there, dude. As a freaking mechanic out in the oil fields of the middle of nowhere Canada, which, I mean, all of Canada to me seems like the middle of nowhere, but...
my favorite memory from Team Olive, there's two. We already talked about the fire, I think, before it got cut off.
Yeah.
But was when April would be like, I think we should trot. And so she would just yell, trot! And so it caught on, and every time there was a downhill, we would just yell, trot! And I just started saying, I love to trot. And she just started laughing because trots in Wales, where she's from, is like, you've got the craps. So I ended up saying, I've got the trots the whole time. And it was just hilarious. Like, it's so fun to laugh. And I think that's something to kind of take an audit of is when was the last time you laughed,
dude,
hard, you know? And I think it was for us like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Like so hard. And looking at all the pictures, dude, I was actually surprised in like the best way possible that in so many of the pictures they took of me, dude, I am like beaming. Yeah. And like I just got off the phone with my wife and she's telling me like You looked like you've never been happier in your life. And I was like, well, I mean, I've definitely been happier than I've been on this trip. But at the same time, like, I was having just the time of my life out there with all these people that I just met, you know, freaking 5 hours before. Yeah. And we were running this ridiculous race carrying stones that are way too heavy, chains that are way too heavy. And we're up there like, you know, what a beautiful place to be carrying 75-pound chains around, you know? What a beautiful place to be carrying this stupid marbles brick around. And, like, all these pictures, dude, just looking like I'm having the time of my life, because I really was.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that we now have those photos to be able to look back on.
Yeah, and those will spark memories. I think with a photo, it just sparks so many memories. That's why the photos were a no-brainer. Like, yeah, I'll pay $70 for 100 photos of you and I running around the mountains pretending to be Spartans. But that was, you know, I called my wife as well, and one of the things that I did is I posted all the pictures on Instagram, and wanted to be a little cringe, so I was like, couldn't have done this without my Spartan queen. And then the movie that we were watching, we didn't mention this, but we came back, the first night in Athens, we just turned on 300, because I bought it a couple years ago on Amazon. We're just nerding out to 300, and there's a line where the queen is like, come back with your shield or on it. So on the Instagram post, it was like, I will come back with my shield, my queen. So super cringe. But another shout out to our wives too for just watching our kids while we run around Greece and do some of the coolest things ever. I might try to get Kaya to come do this one with me one day, or like I told you earlier, the Athens Marathon. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if you didn't know, the guy who did the original marathon was from Athens, or ran to Athens, to deliver a message, and he died. That is why it is a famous race, because the guy who did it first died. So, now we all do it for fun. But I think one of the things, so you said you were super, super happy. And it's because I believe that we were living out a vision for our year.
Yeah.
And with that, we extend an invite to think about what you want to have in the upcoming year. You do not need to wait until January 1st to start thinking of new goals. In fact, my theme for next year is to be all in. Like, just a three-word phrase, be all in. And I'm starting that now in everything that I'm doing. And it's so exciting because I've got so many exciting things I'm working on right now, and I'm just trying to be all in all of those different categories. So think about what your theme for the year is. You don't need to know exacts, but if I look at my last year, like all the trips that I wrote down, like I've done, and those have brought some of the most joy into my life.
Yeah.
We have some family trips coming up to do more Spartan races in Arizona together, to see family. So just get thinking what you want to do. I typically will print out my binder. This will be my third year doing a binder. But also consider getting a Google Doc that you can go back and add stuff to, because a lot of times your vision can change throughout the year and you want to be able to add to your goals as well.
Yeah. And what in our vision binders, you can go back and listen to our episode for last year as we put together our vision binders, is that it's not just a matter of setting New Year's resolutions of like, these are the habits I want to build in for next year. Like, next year I'm going to hit the gym every single day or 5 days a week or whatever. Or next year I'm going to read every day, or next year I'm going to do, you know, X, Y, and Z every day. I feel like we fall into the trap of thinking that, first off, that it has to be a New Year's resolution, and then that resolution has to be some sort of habit or behavior change that we're going to make. You know, I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to drink soda. I'm not going to do this or that and the other, for the whole year. But there are so many other things that you can do with a year, with a 12-month period, to build just an intentional plan for your life. That can be something as simple as, I want to do a Spartan race next year.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that means first you buy a ticket, or you pick a weekend, you buy a ticket.
Or you email me, because if you've never done a Spartan race, like, there's always a connection. I don't know if he's still doing it, but right, there's always a way to get a free ticket. As you know.
Right. But yeah, so you talk to Austin, or just go on, pick a weekend and get a ticket, and then work backwards from there. Maybe throw a date out. Okay, I wouldn't like to do it in the middle of the summer because it's going to be blazes hot, so I'm going to pick one in October of next year. And then, you know, come March, or, you know, January 1st, whatever you want, you got to think, okay, well, am I in the shape that I need to be in to do this race? you know, maybe pick a race that's challenging. So maybe the 5K is challenging enough, but maybe a 10K is the right suit for you, or maybe the 21K or the ultra or whatever. But like, just pick it, set it, and then kind of work backwards of what do you need to do to get there. And that can be it. That doesn't require daily action. You don't have to be working towards a Spartan race daily if that's the thing you want to do, or if you want to run a half marathon, if you want to do whatever. But you can like pick events and just slap them on the calendar and then figure out what things need to happen before then.
And the other thing too is not to push out a goal because you think that you need to have a ton of preparation either. Like, it's like your idea with that one buddy. It was like, oh, I want to do a Murph this year. Then you look at him and you're like, dude, let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah, we could do it right now. Like, we you don't need to wait because there's no time requirement. Even if it took you 3 days to do it, you could do it right now.
The whole idea of like one day, and that's why like the theme for this trip is like, we didn't wait for like the, oh, one day I want to go to Greece. Everybody says that. Few people do it. And it's not that hard to do. So if you look at like my vision binder, I talked to you about this at dinner either yesterday or today. But like my vision binder, I'm like 100% on the trips. Because it doesn't, like, with my work goals, I fell short of my work goals this year and some of my fitness goals because it takes like a ton of effort to actually do that. Like, all you need for a trip is the finances to do and the time to free up, which is also hard, but like, it's not as hard as a daily, you know, thing that you've got to do to make a big goal happen.
Yeah.
So travel is one of those ways where I feel like you can really expand your mind and perspective and just feel alive. I felt so alive this morning just journaling, like out looking at the Acropolis. Biggest thing that I journaled about this morning was like, oh, this will tie it back to like April, but like my dad passed when he was 53. And so if I live to be as old as my dad, which I hope to live to be way older than him, 29 minus 53 is like 24 years. So I've got 24 years left to live if I live as long as my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, like, life's way too short to be waiting for things.
Yeah.
So bring it back to April. We were running and I talked to her about my Spartan race and the ultra I did in honor of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And with her really thick Wales accent, she's like, oh, you're part of the Dead Dad Club. And I'm like, what the heck? What are you, the Dead Dad Club? And I'm like, the dead what? She goes, the Dead Dad Club. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're saying like dead dad? Like, what? And she goes, my dad's dead. And like, we're like, my dad passed and his dad passed and Mark's dad had passed away. And so I got to talk to her about our podcast and what it meant and why we were doing it. Because we both, you know, lost our dads, like, and you know, it's crazy. She was like, I think we're drawn to people that have lost their fathers in some way, you know, and that our whole group, 5 out of 6 of us, and had no longer have a father figure in our life,
right?
Which is huge, you know. Like, it's kind of cool that we barely spent any time talking about that, but it's like, wow, that Team Ali had something, you know.
How do four random people find each other, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, all of our dads have died.
Yeah.
And my dad's out of the picture.
Out of the picture,
And then, didn't they say, like, oh, and did you ask, like, well, what about Kim's dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so funny because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, because Jared's dad is not in a great spot. He's out of the picture now. And I'm like, is Kim's dad okay? And she goes, oh, yeah, he's good. Don't worry about it.
Shout out to Kim's dad.
Shout out to Kim's dad. Keep rocking. But it was just funny. Like, I've never had anybody just after I talk about... They were obviously showed condolences.
Yeah, so yeah,
like, yeah. My dad died 8 years ago. She was sorry. And then after I finished telling my story, she's like, oh, you're part of the Dead Dad Club then. I'm like, what? So yeah, that's a possible episode title. But anyways, I'm really grateful. Just don't wait to live your life because, you know... My dad passed so long ago, like 8 years ago, but like you never know how long you have. So don't make it one day. Like, really get pen to paper and write down what you want to do this year, and there's a way higher chance of it actually happening.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And just expand your mind on what things you could consider doing for the next year. It does not just have to be a daily habit. It can be an event. It can be a trip. I want to take my kids to Disney World. I want to join our school PTA for the first time. I want to get involved here. I want to do this thing. Or I'd really like if my wife and I did X, Y, and Z. you know, like if you and your wife want to have a weekly date night, well then like maybe weekly date night isn't exactly the goal you want to set. Maybe you need to go on a date night in the month of January. And set, like, set that as your goal. And maybe February, you go on a date night. And then maybe in March, you go on two. You know?
Yeah, like 12 dates is way better than zero dates.
Yeah, yeah.
What we run into, I think we'll probably talk about this more when we do like a goal setting podcast again. But like me and you started the year wanting to do two podcasts a month. And we kept it really well. But like I think we're going to get... We won't hit 24 episodes this year. This year.
I don't think
but we'll have done more than 12.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Big win.
And Jordan Peterson always says, he says, that's not nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's better than zero. That's for sure.
It's way better than zero. And the way I look at it is like, as long as you're enjoying the process still, okay, cool.
Right.
We're good.
And if January rolls around, like, first off, you don't even have to wait till January. Like, if you have a goal, like, hey, I really want to get, I want to get in shape and I want to start going to the gym every day, well, you could start that.
Yeah, start
right
now.
You start right now. And you could have 2 whole months of, you know, off and on going to the gym as you try and figure out how you're going to make this work. Maybe you need to get some new workout clothes, or maybe you need to find a better gym, or maybe you need to start going to the gym before work instead of after work, or like maybe there are some adjustments to the system that you need to make along the way. But even if January rolls around and you like you're on it for 2 weeks and then you're off it for 2 weeks, like you were on it for 2 weeks. That's awesome. Get back on it now. And even if you only stay on for 2 more weeks, the second month, and then you fall back off in the next 2 weeks, dude, you're already 4 weeks on the year. You're already at a 50%. Like, and you're going to be in better shape over the course of 12 months. If you go to the gym for 2 weeks every month, then if you go no weeks every month, for sure. Now, obviously, you'd be in better shape if you went 4 weeks of every month, in the same way that we would be better if we hit every single goal that we put in place. Obviously, we would all be better. But perfection isn't the goal. Like, showing up is the goal. And so even if you fell off the train, or even if you fall off the train tomorrow, like, it doesn't matter. In the end, it doesn't matter. Like, just get back on it. Just try it again. Maybe make an adjustment. Maybe make a change. Maybe figure out if there's a different way that you can do this just to make things easier on yourself. But, like, it's okay. It's totally okay. And really the goal, like, the reason we do vision binders, the reason we even talk about this is that we just want to live a life that's a little bit more intentional. You know, a life where... maybe life isn't happening to us, but we're building a life that we want. We're not running away from things that are scarier, from problems or challenges, but we are building a life that we can run to, you know, a life that we're excited about. We've been talking about this thing for like 6 months. It was episode 18 where we talked about doing freaking 50,000 burpees. And we haven't done 50,000 burpees, but we've done 38,120 or 150, and that's not nothing.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's not nothing.
I promise you, that is not nothing, man. But
your burpees.
We are done. We're done with the burpees.
Well, thank you for joining us for our Sparta series. The amount of times that I've just randomly yelled Sparta this trip is awesome. Thank you for listening to our Sparta series, Team Olive. Share this with friends if you think they'd. Share this with your friends because they're going to benefit from it. Just talking about real life. And we appreciate our listeners that have been with us from the beginning and the listeners that have just joined. So we look forward to making an impact and inspiring you to hit your goals. And please message Jared and I if you need a little support to hit your goals.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, and if... you know, all jokes aside, if you actually know someone who's a part of the quote-unquote dead dad club, well, that's a little bit quib. Like, we're serious. Like, the big reason that Austin and I even bonded in the first place was, one, is because I was in the Air Force and his dad was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
But second, because shortly thereafter, he lost his dad and my parents don't talk anymore. And so I haven't talked to my dad in a long time.
Yeah.
And we want to... We think we can replace... dads in people's lives, but rather we understand that there's a need for inspiration, for motivation, for helping you achieve your goals, and we want to rally people together. And so if you know someone who doesn't have a dad in their lives anymore, be it for death or for other reasons, please share this episode with them, because this is what we're here for. This is what we want to do, is we want to be able to help reach out and inspire, you know, especially young men, but to anybody really who's going through a hard time and who wants to make a difference in their life and start living a life a little bit more intentionally. So thanks everybody, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Yeah. I'll get the cookies out. There. Are you going to have any?
Yeah, awesome.
Okay, there we go. Sorry, we just got to get the cookies set up.
Just like Chile.
Okay, we're good.